Well, hey, everybody, it is great to see you, whether you're here in the room or joining us online. It's an honor to have you along for the ride. And by the way, very special welcome if you're joining us for the first time ever today, or maybe the first time in a long time. You didn't know it when you walked in, when you tuned in, but this is one of those best possible weekends to visit Keystone, so you're already crushing life, is what I'm trying to tell you, right? Because today we're beginning a brand new series called Into the Deep. And this series has been stirring in me for a while now, but it's all about some super practical steps that you can take to grow in your faith as we enter back to school and back to college football season this year. The back to school thing, the kids are like, oh, and all the middle-aged dudes are like, football, right? Yeah, I mean, anyway. But to get us going, as is often the case around here, I want to ask you a question. And the question goes like this. Do you remember the first time you jumped into the deep end, right? Now, if you think about it, I mean, you got to go way back, if you're like me, way, way, way back. But until that moment, you'd pretty much spent your entire aquatic existence in the shallows, right? With mom and dad only an arm's length away, but that glorious day, you found yourself gazing at the big kid swimming in the deep end of the pool, and this thought happened out of nowhere, it's go time, I'm doing it. Do you remember this, right? And you climbed up the steps of the diving board, not the high dive, let's not push the story too far, okay? But just the diving board, and then you like walked out on the edge, freaked out, walked backwards, and then you dug deep. And you found the resolve that you never even knew you had until that moment. And you counted down from five a few times, right? And then you jumped. And at least in your mind, the crowd went wild, right? Yeah, yeah. Or maybe for you, it wasn't the pool. It was that day at Lake Michigan. Up until that day, you'd stayed in the shallows, making sandcastles with your annoying kid sister. But then, seemingly out of nowhere, you felt the urge to go out to where the waves were crashing, and you went deep. Or maybe for you, it was an inland lake, and you'd had a cottage, and you only ever swam around the dock, right? But then one day, you told your mom or your dad that you wanted to take that glorious craft, the pontoon boat, right, into the water as deep as possible and jump in, and you did, and it was glorious. I think we all have some version of this iconic childhood memory, because no matter who you are, at some point, you've felt the call of the deep. And this series is predicated on the idea that what is true of swimming is also true of faith. In fact, as I think about it, this series really is for anyone who's interested in going past the shallows when it comes to their faith and experiencing something deeper, something more meaningful with their Creator. It's for anyone at any stage of life who simply wants more, even people who consider themselves skeptics. And full disclosure, if you're here and that's you, even if you're like a quiet skeptic and no one knows, I'm thrilled. And maybe you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, or maybe you used to be a follower of Jesus and you're here to give church another try, or maybe you took a break because, well, your whole life experience has been in the shallow end and it just didn't seem like it was worth pursuing. But now you find yourself wondering, maybe again with the change of season coming, that there might be, there just might be something more. And if there is more, you want to know it and experience it. If there really is a God who knows you and who loves you, and maybe you could even come to know him personally in a way that makes a difference every single day in your life. This series is also for people who recently came to faith. And if that's you, again, we're so honored you're with us. And you're just like, you're ready for more. Like, you go out to Starbucks with your friends, and you are desperately trying to figure out, like, what is my next step? I've experienced some of God, and I want more of God. And it's also for people who have ever looked at someone else's faith with envy and thought, you know, how did they ever cultivate something like that? How do I get from where I am to something that looks a little more like where they are? And just one more group, I think this series is for anyone who's been following Jesus for a long time, but who in an honest moment would confess they feel a bit stalled. You know, maybe bored or apathetic, people who suspect that the most meaningful moments in their faith journey are in the proverbial rearview mirror. And looking ahead, there's nothing that exciting. I mean, all that to say, I think this is a series for all of us. Wherever you find yourself in life and wherever you find yourself right now on the spectrum of faith. And so that said, I want to note something that I think is true for all of us. And again, pulling back the camera a bit from faith, but we all know that the shallows in life are not enough. We know that the shallows are insufficient to fulfill whatever it is that's in us. Because again, somewhere deep within us, there's a longing for the deep end. We sense that's where the meaning is. We sense that's where the adventure is. I mean, to think about it, like every time you've taken a risk to jump into the deep end in any area of your life, you haven't regretted it, even if it didn't go that well. It's true of your relationships. It's true of your decision to move out on your own many years ago, or maybe this week for the first time. You know, it's true in your career. And I'm telling you, it's true in your faith. If you're honest with yourself, you crave something deeper when it comes to God. And I suspect that strongly because I think we all do. He put that longing in us. And here's something else to think about. You can't really afford to indefinitely stay in the shallows when it comes to your faith, because the shallows won't keep you emotionally engaged. They won't capture your heart. They won't compel your intellect or help you become the kind of person that you ultimately want to be. That stuff happens in the deep end. And so as I mentioned, this series is about how to experience the deep end, or how to maybe lean in that direction. And so before I go any further, I just want to note something that at least a few of you are thinking. You might be thinking something like this, like, okay, great setup, love the diving board thing, but this whole growing deeper in my faith thing, like, sorry, pastor guy, isn't that your job, right? Like, we come, sit, listen, you instruct, and then we go deeper in our faith. Isn't that why I come to church? And that's a valid question. And in order to answer it, I want to show you something that was written in a letter that eventually made its way into the New Testament of the Bible. It was written by a pastor. We're not even sure who it was. Some people think it was the Apostle Paul. Many scholars, you know, who think it wasn't. And I love the arguments because it's been 2,000 years and who knows, right? They're like, well, based on the way he used the word the, you're like, seriously, guys? Get a hobby. Anyway, yeah. So whoever wrote it, seen as absolutely inspired from the very beginning of church history. And so this pastor, whoever he was, wrote this thing to a group of Christians who, again, had that same question, like, isn't it the pastor's job to grow me deep in my faith? They were looking to him to grow them. And so after spending significant time in the letter, inviting them to consider the depths of who Jesus was and is and what he had done for them, he sort of called a timeout, got a little spicy, and decided to challenge them. And it was a pretty stern challenge. Here's what he wrote. We have much to say about this, about Jesus and his life and what it means for all of us, but it's hard to make it clear to you, and look at this, because you're no longer trying to understand. Okay, I've said some version of this to each of my boys at some point in my life. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, I have much more to say. So the author writes, like, listen, I want to take you deeper, but I can't take you deeper. I got a whole lot more to say, but you're not really listening. I've done my part, but you're not doing your part. And it's keeping you from experiencing everything that God has for you. And here's why I bring this up. I think what was true of these early Christians 2,000 years ago could be true for many of us. I mean, what if there's something that we're doing or something that we're not doing that's holding us back in our faith? What if there's a change that we need to make, and until we make that change, no number of sermons, however brilliant, or podcasts or songs or books or blogs that we consume can take us deeper? That's the argument that I want to make in this series. And I want to show you three super practical things that you can start doing, three dials you can start turning, three roles you can start playing that can help you move out of the shallows and into the deep end when it comes to your faith, so that you can experience that living, breathing relationship with God that somehow your soul craves. And the first principle, the first suggestion that I want to make with the rest of our time today is actually brought about by what the author of Hebrews wrote next as he continued. So here's what he said next. He says, though by this time, so he says, you're no longer listening, but though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. In other words, okay, I've known you for a while now, and y'all ought to be experts. You should be advanced. You should be doing for others what I've been doing for you. Said a bit differently, guys, you need to act your age, right? Does anyone else remember when someone used to say this to you and how it made you feel? I think it's one of the hardest things people said to me when I was growing up. Anybody with me on this? I mean, like, go back with me. Like, when you're five, you don't want anyone calling you a baby. And when you're in high school, you don't want anyone accusing you of acting like a middle schooler. And then as you get to college and older, we want to reflect the stage of life in which we live. And so no one wants to be confronted with the reality that they aren't acting their age, but that's essentially what the author of Hebrews told his audience. And then as he continued, he pushed it even farther. And I love this. It's like, hey, if you didn't catch that first one, we'll be a little less subtle. You need milk, not solid food. Ouch, right? But see, I think there's an important truth here, and I don't want to miss it. The author, again, he's a little spicy here, but he reminded his readers that there's a natural progression physically as you grow up. Like, you start as a baby, and then you become a toddler, and then a child, and then a teen, and a young adult, and so on. And the author argues here that there's supposed to be a similar progression when it comes to your spiritual life. Like, when you first place your faith in Jesus, you need to learn the basics about what God is like. You need to understand that he loves you and that he sent Jesus to die for your sins. I mean, if you hang out in our kids' wing, and they are amazing over there, those are the sorts of things that, especially our preschoolers and our young elementary, that's what we bring them back to again and again and again. We want to ground them in the fact that they're loved by God more than they can imagine, and that God sent Jesus to rescue them for their sins when he died on the cross. So that's where it starts. However, and this is the point of the author of Hebrews, we all are supposed to progress beyond that eventually, right? It's like, for you, maybe it was like, well, you did progress eventually, and you joined a Bible study, or you started to read some books, or have some intentional conversations with friends that ask deeper questions, that ask better questions of your faith, questions of meaning, like, well, what's God's will for my life? And can I discern it? And how can I love others like Jesus loved me, especially if they're annoying every time they post on Facebook? How do you do that, right? And I think the author of Hebrews would say that when something like that happens, when you start asking those deeper, better questions, the more complicated questions, you've moved from milk to meat. You've moved from simply embracing a childhood framework for your faith to something that can actually function as a coherent worldview and stand up to the rigors of your adult experience. And when that doesn't happen, when that progression doesn't unfold, that's not good for you or anyone else. Like, all that to say, apparently the people to whom the author of Hebrews was originally written started their faith the same way that we all start our faith. But even though they've been Christians for a while, when they received that letter, they really hadn't grown up very much. Which brings me to a question that I'd love to invite you to think about this week. It's simply this. How much have you grown since beginning your faith journey? Like, have you been treading water in the shallow end, or have you been steadily moving towards maturity? Because as I said, there's supposed to be a spiritual progression in your life and in my life towards maturity. So how much have you grown in your faith since first embracing the sacrifice of Jesus for your sins? And again, just be honest with yourself. And here's something else to think about. How much have you grown lately? In other words, how long have you been where you are right now, spiritually speaking? And I suspect that for a lot of us, the answer is too long. I was excited to make a slide that just said too long. You know, but yeah, if for you, if the answer, if you're honest with yourself, is too long, I'm telling you, it's time to start growing again. Because when you do, when you lean into your faith, when you start asking those deeper, better questions, it's better for your kids, it's better for your spouse, it's better for your coworkers, and it's even better for those dreaded individuals in your neighborhood association. It's better for everyone. In fact, I'll go as far as to say that you need to grow again because your relationships are too important and your influence is too great and the consequences of your choices are too far-reaching. Your life is far too important to say that when it comes to matters of faith, you've been where you are for too long. Like, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to God, you owe it to the people in your life to have a better answer to that question. And that's actually what the author of Hebrews wrote next. I'd argue that he actually revealed the first of the three principles that we're going to explore in this series, principles that can help you get out of the shallows and into the deep when it comes to your faith. Here's what he said. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, how to live God's way. He said, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use, and that's key, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And this actually makes sense if you stop and think about it. I mean, there comes a moment in every child's life where they put down the bottle and they pick up a fork and start eating real food so that they can eventually grow up and be a man or woman who prepares their own food. It's a natural progression. It's a necessary progression. It's a non-negotiable progression. But see, it's not possible unless he or she, through constant use, decides to train themselves to feed themselves. This is like a basic principle of life. And the author of Hebrews argued that in the same way, if you and I are going to grow up spiritually, if we're going to get more mature in our faith over time, if we're going to get out of the shallows and experience the depths of what God has for us, at some point, we're going to have to decide to learn how to feed ourselves. Like, it's the only way. But the truth is that for many of us, and especially for those of us who seem to be forever young in our faith, shout out to Alphaville, right? Like, for as long as we can remember, all that we've done to grow in our faith is to show up in church. And that's good, but it's not enough. And I mean, you might be 17 or 26 or 51 or 65 when it comes to faith, you're still pretty much exclusively depending on someone else to prepare your food and spoon it into your mouth. And I'm telling you, that's at least in part what's getting in your way. What's getting in the way of you growing and experiencing the life that God has for you. That's why, at least in part, you've stalled out in your faith. And if that resonates with you at all, I would suspect that you'd also admit that your knowledge of God is smaller than you desire it to be, and that you struggle with the same sins way more than you want to, and that you're probably more easily rocked in your faith by pivotal circumstances when they come along. And your ability to influence the world for Jesus is more stunted than you hoped it would be at this point in your life. And if that's you, I'm telling you, that's because you haven't really grown up in your faith yet. And maybe no one ever told you this, and so it's not even your fault. But nonetheless, you're still not acting your age spiritually. And to be fair, you've grown up in every other way. I mean, you are awesome by every other metric, but in this one area, you've still got a lot to do. of potential. And so I think the author of Hebrews would tell you, it's time to start pursuing. It's time to start moving forward. It's time to lean in. You need to start feeding yourself. And again, not because God is mad at you. He spent all the chapters before this talking about how much God loves you and how we can be so confident of that because of Jesus. He said, God is not mad at you. That's not his point. It's because God loves you and he has something amazing for you and he doesn't want you to miss it. And so the author of Hebrews is simply saying, if you want to grow in your faith, you've got some work to do. In another place in the New Testament, I love this, the author says, you have everything you need, so make every effort. You have everything you need to build the sort of life that God has for you. He's given you his spirit. He's given you the text. He's given you teaching. He's given you community. Now you've got work to do if you want to get out of the shallows and start exploring the deep. You've got to be proactive and intentional and committed and disciplined. And honestly, I think this same challenge is relevant for those of us who have been Christians for decades, people like myself. I mean, maybe for you, you came to faith in high school and you would read your Bible regularly in high school and then into college, and then you participated in a small group throughout your 20s, but if you're honest, since then, I mean, you kind of been coasting. Life got busy, and I get it, right? I mean, you had kids, and then they started doing travel sports, and then there was just so much to juggle, and it's like faith, it didn't go away. It just sort of went out of focus, and so I suspect that if that's you at all, if you're being honest, I mean, you're like, yeah, I've been kind of lame in my faith. Maybe it's time. And so if that's you, if that's the space you find yourself in, I want to ask you a question, and it's simply this. Are you currently in danger of spending the next decade getting older but not deeper? And I wrote that this week, and I thought about my own self, and I was like, ouch. So I'm with you in this, right? But are we currently in danger of spending the next decade getting older but not deeper? Are we currently in danger of spending the next decade getting older but not closer to Jesus? Or more aware of what's in the Bible? Or activating our potential to influence the world for good? If we're being honest, how many of us are at risk for this? Not that we're spiritual children, but somewhere along the way, we sort of went on autopilot in our faith. And so maybe it's time for some of us to be honest about our present reality and lean into our faith again. And again, the change of seasons is coming. This is a great time to do it. Because I'm telling you, there's no way that God is done with you. He's not done pursuing you. He's not done inviting you. He's not done believing in you. He wants the next seasons of your life to be the best seasons of your life when it comes to your faith. And by the way, if you're not a Christian and you're here, I suspect that if you're honest, that you wouldn't use these terms, you've kind of been coasting in your spiritual life as well. And here's what I mean. You're leveraging the same objections to faith in conversations with friends that you were leveraging 10 years ago. All that to say, I don't think any of us should settle for anything less than a vibrant faith. The shallows simply are not that satisfying, and deep down, we all know that's true. And again, that's why every time you ventured past the shallows in any area of your life, you've always been thankful that you did and you've never wanted to go back. And I'm telling you, what you're looking for is out there, but you have a role to play. And so the first principle in this series that I want us to kind of reflect on is simply this. The shallows can be bottle fed, but the depths must be self-fed. You can experience the beauty of God and the gospel in the shallows, but to experience that vibrant faith that will propel you and compel you through your adulthood, you've got to be self-fed. And that's why, as we close today, I want to do something that we've never done before. Are you so excited? I'm so excited. Okay. It took some to doing to work on this. I had to talk to our information technology department. Her name is Shannon. And she found this thing. So, I'm excited to unveil this. So I want to invite you to take a super simple action step and join me in reading a section of the Bible for yourself each today for 21 days. This is a three-week series, starting tomorrow morning. And I know there's podcasts that are great to listen to, and there's books you can read, and that's all good, but I would encourage you to re-engage with the Bible directly, or maybe engage with the Bible directly for the first time in your life, to start getting past secondhand information and stop living on secondhand experiences of God and begin to experience what God has for you. I want that for you so much. So I want to invite you to join me in a 21-day experiment in feeding yourself, and here's how it's going to work. For the next 3 weeks, if you'll let me, I myself, will text you a link to a wonderful website called Bible Gateway. And if you've never experienced it, it is my favorite website. What it will do is I'm going to click a link, you click it, it takes you to the passage for the day, and then you can just read it. I'm also excited for you to see Bible Gateway, because for some of you, that'll be, you know, what you want to use to read the Bible moving forward. And so once you open this, you have a job to do. Just take a few minutes to reflect on it. And I want you to reflect on the passage using a simple method that has a terribly cheesy acronym. You familiar with cheesy acronyms? Pastors love them. Okay, the acronym, buckle up, it's SOAP. Oh, really? See, but my thought is, if we do SOAP, then you're in the shower or washing your hands or whatever you're doing, and you're like, oh, SOAP, I need to do the text thing. No, it's not going to work. But anyway, that was my thought. Okay, easy to remember. So S stands for Scripture. I don't use the word a lot. We use the word Bible around here. Scripture is from Latin, scriptura, and over early Christian history, the Scriptures were, capital S, where the Scriptures were referenced to the Bible. So first thing I want you to do is simply read the passage that I send you. Second one, O, that's for observation. Basically what I want you to do is basically reflect on the passage, and this is key, reflect on it long enough to find one thing in it that you think might be important to your life, okay? And then maybe make a note of it in your phone or in a journal if you're a journal person. A stands for application. What that means is I want you to reflect on how you might apply what you observed to your life. And then finally, P is for prayer. Nothing fancy there. I just want you to talk to God briefly about what you just read and maybe ask him to help you do whatever it is that you've identified that you need to do. So again, I want to invite you to do this with me for 21 days as an attempt to start feeding yourself. And the cool thing about this exercise is once we're done, you'll have built a habit to leverage a technique that you can use to read entire books of the Bible. How cool is that, right? All you have to do to give this a try, and this is where Shannon, crushing life, here we go, ready? See what we did? Look at that. You just have to text join deep. It does not all have to be caps, I checked. That's just so you see it better, okay? Join deep to this phone number. Is this my phone number? No. I have some other thoughts while I have you on the line. No, this is a number that the internet came up with for this exercise and this exercise alone. And so if you want to do this right now or take a picture of it, we'll have a up on the website if you don't like, oh no, what's that number? And if you're here and you're not a Christian, you might be thinking, hey, Pastor Guy, don't even know if I believe this. Should I do it? And if that's what you're thinking, let me encourage you. I think you should do it. And you're like, well, I don't know if I believe it. But think about this. You have nothing to lose. Plus, you read things all the time that you aren't sure are true. You read them to decide whether they're true. So just go ahead and feed yourself, and then you can make up your mind. And then one more thing, because some of you will email me about this if I don't say this. If you sign up, you'll be added to a temporary database, not connected with the church database at all, okay, that we promise to delete after 21 days. And if we ever do this again, you'll have to sign up again. And plus, we won't know who you are anyway. You'll just be like a phone number on a list. You're just signing up to receive 21 text messages. The plan is to get them to you at 7 a.m. I was going to do 6, but I thought some of you would hate that because your phone would be like, I hate that. So anyway, 7 a.m., it'll drop. Give it a try. You literally have nothing to lose. You can even stop anytime you want just by texting stop to this number, but hey, you're not going to do that because you're not that lame. You know, if you're like, I don't want to do this, just scroll past it. Not a problem, right? So again, text join deep to 616, whatever that number says. And if you do it before you exit the building or some point today, you'll get the first text tomorrow. How fun is that? Yeah? Now some of you are like, what text is he going to send? Oh, I'm not telling you. That's what's going to be so great. So, all right. Then we'll pick it up there
next week, but for now, I'd love to invite you to stand, and I'll close our time together in prayer. And one more time today, if you came in, we do this every week, and you'd like someone to pray with you, we have some volunteers, some friends that'll be under the screen to the left. But for the rest of us, let me close our time. Heavenly Father, you are so good. Thank you for loving us as we are, and thank you for inviting us to more. And I think if we're honest, there's something deep within us that craves that more, and we're not sure how to get there. And so I pray that as we encounter your story, you would speak to us this week. You would challenge us where we need to be challenged. You'd comfort us where we need to be comforted. You'd remind us of whatever it is that we need to be reminded of. And you would equip us to serve this world as your people. Thank you for going first. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for the grace in which we stand, especially when we fail, because we fail. Thank you for that endless invitation to get back up and try again. And so I pray that you would bless this exercise, you'd bless this series, that your spirit would speak to us in a fresh way. But for today, for this community, we just want to say thank you. It is in the matchless name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Grace and peace to you, friends. We'll see you next week.